The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are listening to the PVD cast with John Orlando. Soak it up, suckers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 285. I hope you're doing well out there, and thank you very much for checking out this episode. And it's my favorite time of year. Not because it's May, no, it's playoff hockey time. That's right, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are in full swing, and I couldn't be happier. There's just something about playoff hockey that just, the regular season's great, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to the playoffs, there's just something special. There's just something seems so much more urgent, and everything gets bumped up a notch. Oh, I'm in heaven. And joining me on this episode to talk about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, as well as some various different NHL news that has happened over this very odd season, is, of course, Mr. Luke Landry. So Luke and I are going to give our Stanley Cup picks. We're going to talk about the matchups that are happening. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about a few things that have happened over this season, albeit a 56-game season. So it's going to be a great episode, especially if you're a puckhead. Or heck, let's not pigeonhole ourselves. Even if you're a casual hockey fan, you're going to love this episode. So with that, before we get to it, let me remind you that this episode of the PVD Cast is brought to you by the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you hear me talk about it episode after episode after episode that they have everything you need for your comic book fandom, but they do. They got new issues of your favorite comic book. They got graphic novels. They've got toys. They got comic book supplies, collectibles. They got posters. They have like thousands of back issues. Like if you need a particular Iron Man comic from 1984, Jeff and the folks at World's Greatest Comics probably has it for you. So you need to stop by the store. If you're not in the area, you can still check them out. They have a great website, wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook, so just go on over to @WGComics. And if I may, Jeff, every week, drops a new release video telling you about all the new releases that are dropping that Wednesday. You need to check it out. Definitely show some love to World's Greatest Comics, because they're a great sponsor, and I appreciate them so much. And with that, I'm starting to ramble a little bit. So you know what? I'm going to cut myself off. I'm going to throw it to a break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Luke Landry talking about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. I am sitting down this evening with Mr. Luke Landry. Luke, you're back again to talk about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, which, in complete honesty and transparency, started yesterday. We are chatting on the 16th of May, and it is what it is. Schedules are what they are, and I'm just glad we got a chance to talk, you know, without it being like, you know, a week into the playoffs and whatnot. But you know what? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's my favorite time of year. I love the playoffs when they start. And this has been quite an interesting season, has it not?
It's been a wild season. And It's funny because a lot of the expectations that that were sent towards this this special season, where you're just playing against your division all season long, and everybody was saying it's going to be like mini playoffs all over and all the time, and that just didn't happen. So now we actually do get to see playoffs. So that's fun.
Yeah, you know what? I think one of the things that you and I talked about when we were setting things up, you know, in our emails, our messages back and forth, that this year was really weird, because if you're following your favorite team, for you, Montreal, for myself, Pittsburgh, you're stuck within that division and you don't see the Minnesotas, you don't see the Los Angeles games, you don't see, unless you make an effort to do that, you know what I mean?
Well, even then, I mean, I'm hooked up to a couple of channels where usually during the season you get to see a wide variety of games. And I mean, I saw, you know, without counting the Lake Tahoe games, which were pretty much the only games that were played during that weekend. Mm-hmm. But I mean, otherwise, I think I saw one Boston and Philly game, and I saw one Colorado and Vegas game. And that's it. Maybe one Pittsburgh game. But that's it. The rest of the time, every time I click on the TV, it was all division games on my end. So,
but I only managed to, besides the Lake Tahoe games, I think I only saw one San Jose versus Anaheim game, I think, this season. Because, yeah, it was kind of weird, because I've always relied on, you know, oh, Pittsburgh's going to play Edmonton on Tuesday night. Cool. I'm going to get to see Edmonton, because I don't necessarily seek out, you know, the Oilers or the Canucks or some of those teams. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, same here. I mean, there's a lot of those teams. I mean, I was waiting to see Tampa Bay play this year. I haven't seen them at all. So playoffs are going to give me a chance to see them. But, I mean, even Florida, I would have loved to have seen Florida play a bit more. They had an outstanding season. But, again, I mean, I don't think, or at least when I had the chance to watch some hockey, those games weren't available.
Do you think that the NHL handled the COVID situation as good as they had last season? Because I think we were very complimentary on this podcast that they did a pretty darn good job of containing the COVID situation, having the two bubbles, having the best season that they could, given the time that they had and whatnot. Do you think that they've lived up to that expectation for this season or no?
I mean, considering that you're dealing with like 31 separate bubbles or division bubbles, you know, to a certain extent. Whereas when they did the playoffs last summer, I mean, it was really like you're in the bubble and you stay in the bubble. I think they did all right. But I mean, it's the worst case scenario was Vancouver, where like most of the team caught COVID and they were out for like 2.5 weeks. My biggest problem regards to the whole COVID thing is that you end up with a schedule that is already so tight, there's really not much room to, you know, put those postponed games somewhere in there, that you have to like prolong your season or you have to try to play around with it. And it's that one, I was kind of like, I didn't get that one. It's like, you know, this is going to happen. I mean, there's a huge chance that teams aren't going to be able to play the games night after night because of the COVID factor, yet you squinch all of these games into so little time.
And it made the playoff picture very confusing as well. Because, you know, I asked you, a week or so ago when we were setting things up, like, what's going on? Is the Canucks going to finish the season? Are they just going to cut it short? And it did make for a very confusing schedule for the playoffs. And I feel like they could have done something and maybe had a policy in effect from the get-go that's saying, hey, this is what's going to happen if you can't make all these games. And I don't know what that would be. I don't know if you would get like, okay, we're going to cancel those games and you get maybe a bump up in the draft or something to make it worth their while. I don't know. But I agree with you, Luke. I think that there could have been some type of better plan for that. But I think that they did a pretty decent job.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered, it wasn't too bad. But, you know, again, for the whole playoff thing, you wrote to me like, oh, you want to do it Sunday night or Tuesday? And I figured, well, might as well Sunday, because Tuesday the Habs should be playing. And they're not. They're not playing until Thursday. So even then you're like, well, they're going to have over a week off between their two games. Yet this is the first Canadian team to get COVID, and it was the team that ended up being behind in their games. But they finished almost a full week earlier than other teams. So yeah, it's just like total mindfuck, really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this was not the only confusing thing that happened this season. There's been a lot of confusing things. And so what we'd like to do, folks, is just touch base on some of the more interesting and wild stories before we get to our Stanley Cup picks. And I know, Luke, you wanted to talk a little bit about the incident with Mr. Tim Peel. So for those that are unaware, Tim Peel, and a senior official, correct, Luke? Is he was higher up on the food chain, so to speak, correct?
Yeah, this was last season, if I'm not mistaken. He was supposed to retire at the end of the season.
Yes, he was caught on mic boasting about whistling a penalty that may or may not have actually been very egregious, shall we say, trying to even things up for a previous call. And it caused quite a controversy. So, Luke, what was your thoughts about the Tim Peel situation?
It's the weirdest thing, because, I mean, you always have these situations during games where you know that depending on the score, depending on how the game goes, you know if you're going to be – you have more chances of getting a penalty or not, or, you know, if you're losing by 2-3 goals, chances are, as long as the game doesn't get out of hand, you're probably going to get away with more, and – Or the closer you get to the playoffs, well, the less power plays you have. And night after night, what you end up seeing is like, you know, two penalties on one side, three on the other, and, four on one side, three on the other. It's just like always pretty even. So the fact that he wanted, the way that he said it, that he absolutely wanted to give a penalty from the get-go to that team, kind of lacks transparency in the way that you officiate. So that to me was that was like the first problem. Then a whole bunch of other problems happened afterwards, but that was the first one.
You know, I think that we as hockey fans kind of know that this happens. To me, I felt like, you know, had he not been caught on the mic saying it, that nothing really would have been made of this, obviously. But I think we all know it happens. Does that make it right? No. I heard Bob McKenzie talk about that there's two philosophies to reffing a game in the NHL. It is you do it by the book, or you do it with what they call, quote, game management, end quote. Whereas you said, if it's a blowout, you know, 5-2, you know, you're probably not getting all the calls that you could get.
That's what I was going to say, actually. They just relieved him of the rest of the season. So he is going to get his full pension at the end. I mean, the NHL just went in quickly, swiftly, and just like, okay, see, we did something. There's no real punishment behind the whole thing. I mean, he probably got paid for the rest of the games that he didn't play and he didn't ref, so all of that. But yeah, at least the NHL came out and gave a statement saying, okay, this isn't right. But at the same time, there's no real punishment behind this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of punishments, I would like to talk about this news story here that just happened just, I don't know, 3 weeks ago. And that is, of course, the ugly incident that occurred between the New York Rangers and Tom Wilson. And, you know, Luke, I don't know what your opinion is on Tom Wilson. I have felt that this man should not be in the NHL. I've said it many, many times privately. I'm going to say it publicly here. I feel that Tom Wilson is a cheap shot artist. I know everybody says he plays on that edge. I feel like he doesn't. I feel like he's always going over that edge. There's evidence to prove that. What he did with Panarin and Buchnevich, there's no call for that. There's no need for that in the NHL. And yet he just got $5,000 fine and that was it. And I'm completely aghast when that news broke that's all he got for what was attempted murder, you might want to say. What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
Yeah, well, first things first, they have to get rid of that $5,000 fine. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like coming up to anybody else and saying, hey, you can punch that guy in the face and it'll just cost you $20. Well, you know, it might be worth it in the end. So, yeah, I mean, the thing about Tom Wilson is that when he decides to play hockey, he's a great hockey player. Problem is, like you said, he runs that line, and more often than not, he runs that line. He's on the wrong side of that line. So if there was really supplemental discipline That's the kind of player that maybe you'd be able to pull in on the right side of the line and enjoy his hockey skills rather than whatever it is he did a couple of weeks ago. And even further than that, he didn't go up against the other team's fighters or the other team's goons. He went after, you know, one of their best players and eventually one of their best players in a couple of years. So he didn't exactly try to pick a guy his own size or anything. And that to me bothered me a bit more. Even more so, I mean, the other funny thing, not so funny actually, the NHL never mentioned whatsoever what happened with Panarin afterwards. It was only with Buchnevich. So he got his $5,000 fine for punching a guy behind the head a couple of times. But they never mention like the wrestling maneuver he did on the other player who, after he tore off his helmet and threw him on the ice. At a certain point, the NHL is going to have to, they're going to have to try to figure out how you can explain, if you use new rule this year, if you lose your helmet, you either have to go to the bench or stop playing and put your helmet back on. You cannot play anymore without your helmet because, you know, safety. But at the same time, you have the whole Tom Wilson incident where, yeah, okay, nothing horribly bad happened. We don't know to what extent Panarin was injured, but I mean, there's no blood, there's no broken bones, and there's nothing bad that you can see on the play, violently on the play. But at the same time, if your protocol now says that you have to do a certain thing to protect players, well, your whole system should work in that direction as well. So yeah, okay, nobody got hurt. Maybe you should punish the guy for what he did and not for what happened. So not punishing the result.
For next year, there has to be some type of stiffer penalty for doing something like this, because you're absolutely right. Somebody hits their head on the ice without a helmet, that's going to be a horrible, horrible situation.
Yeah, and I'm convinced if that had happened, then we're not even talking about Tom Wilson anymore. I mean, he's out right for the rest of the year. Right. But because nothing substantially bad happened, then here's a slap on the wrist and don't do it again.
I do appreciate the fact that the Rangers in the following game, which I believe was on a Wednesday, if I recall, I think the events happened on Monday with Tom Wilson and then on Wednesday. I did appreciate, as an old school hockey fan, I did appreciate the Rangers standing up for themselves.
Yeah, I mean, and that's for people who want to take fighting out of the game. What happened with Tom Wilson is the exact reason why you cannot do it. If the NHL doesn't actually take a step forward and start protecting their players properly, you're going to have to keep fighting in the game. Or even if you punish fighting more than just 5 minutes, it's still going to happen. I mean, as long as there's not an actual police force patrolling, it doesn't, guys are going to have to protect themselves. I mean, it kind of sucks in that way because it is incredibly dangerous, but you know, if the league's not going to help you, well, you're going to have to take matters into your own hands.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I have one more topic and then I don't know if you have anything that you want to jump in there with, Luke. I'm just going to mention that, I think another big story that broke in the NHL over the last few weeks, John Tortorella, out here in Columbus after six seasons. Assistant coach Brad Shaw also gone. I'm just going to present my point of view. I feel like that the Columbus Blue Jackets are in a very critical offseason. I think that whatever they do over this offseason is going to it's going to have long-term effects. And I shudder to think that maybe those long-term effects, if they choose the wrong path, so to speak, is going to really hurt that franchise.
Yeah, my biggest question for their offseason is, how much leeway, if any, does the GM have? Because, I mean, he's gotten rid of great players. Bobrovsky, Panarin, Dubois this year. Well, even Savard on defense. And Foligno. I mean, when you trade away your captain, you typically, especially that type of player, I mean, you're aiming for a complete different philosophy. I mean, I don't know how much play he's going to have. I mean, he's been there for a while, and they went from having a lot of good prospects to not having much. And unless they can revive Patrick Laine next year with the new coaching staff, things aren't looking good in Columbus.
No, I you know what? I agree too. Exactly what you said. Jarmo Kekäläinen, I believe, is on a very short leash. And I don't, that's just my honest opinion. I have a feeling that if he doesn't make the right moves, including maybe re-signing Seth Jones, re-signing Patrick Laine, you know, I just feel like we talked about this before, Luke. You know, when you look at Arizona and Vegas and Florida and Tampa and Dallas, you look at these non-traditional hockey cities, you got to win. And I, you know, here in Columbus, you know, OSU college football rules. And if you're not winning, if you're, you know, if you're the Blue Jackets, you're our minor league baseball team, you're our MLS team, if you're not winning, you're forgotten about, because that's what rules is OSU football. And I, that's what I mean, is I feel like, as I said, I know it sounds dramatic, but I don't think if they make the right moves this season, I'm worried about the longevity of that franchise here in town.
Thing is, you traded away good young players for the most part over the last two and a half years.
Yep.
Which, I mean, that's going to hurt you in the long run. I don't know how good their AHL team has been doing, but I mean, it's not looking good when you're trading away players who are like early to mid 20s and who are lighting up elsewhere. I mean, it's not looking good. And every guy that you have come in just wants to leave. I don't know, man. I mean, Tortorella, he's able to do some good stuff, but like in short term. If he stays there too long, it always seems to be the same situation. It happened in Tampa, happened in New York, happened in Vancouver. But you can only sacrifice so much of your roster to help out a coach. And when you're drying it up like that, I mean, it's I don't know, man. It really doesn't look good. That's why I wouldn't be surprised if the GM gets kicked out by the end, by sometime this summer, maybe before the draft or something like that. Or maybe they're going to give him an extra year. But I guess it depends on how much management's involved in there, how much the owners are involved.
We're going to take a break from the hockey talk for just one moment so I can tell you about the great sponsor of the PVD cast, World's Greatest Comics. They've got everything you need for your comic book fandom. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, thousands and thousands of back issues, posters, you name it, they got it. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, stop on by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Just look for @WGComics. And if you interact with anybody from the store, whether in person or on the internet, please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD cast. Well, did you have any other news stories that you wanted to cover real quick before we move on to Stanley Cup picks?
No, man, I didn't see any games this year. I mean, you know, we can talk about the Canadian teams as much as you want. I saw those like plenty. But, I mean, no, the rest, it's like, you know.
Well, hey, let's start in the North Division. All right, so we have Toronto taking on Montreal, Edmonton taking on Winnipeg. And, you know, before we jump into this, I do know that, you know, listeners, I know you're listening to this on Thursday, and, you know, a few games have been played. And whatnot, but I, you know, there's not going to be any, I don't think, major victories coming out of the last few nights games. So I think we're pretty safe still with making some of our predictions. But Luke, out of the North, who do you see getting out of the first round?
Well, I mean, I have to go with Montreal, even if their season wasn't all that good. It's playoff hockey. A lot of teams are going to have almost a week off before they start. And if I'm not mistaken, Habs and Leafs are the first game to start on Thursday. So, I mean, we'll see. The thing is, when you see the same team so often, you get to see all of the weaknesses that these teams have. And there's just so many of them. The Habs can hardly get any scoring done over the last few weeks. Toronto has shoddy, defense has gotten better, which one thing I have to say, and it pains me to say something positive about Toronto, But the one thing I have to say, Matthews and Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, I have not seen them play better hockey ever. They have gotten much more responsible defensively. They're passing the puck. I mean, their transition game is awesome. So they're definitely, you have to check those two out for sure. But yeah, I mean, defense wise, Toronto hasn't gotten any better. And right now they're hoping that Jack Campbell, who has never been able to set foot in the NHL, he's going to be their starter. So they're hoping that he's going to get the job done. And when you look at the Oilers, kind of the same problem where you're hoping Mike Smith is going to give you some good hockey. Defensively, you kind of have a gap there. And then you have awesome forwards with McDavid, who's just lighting it up all year. And one team that I kept on saying about a month and a half now that I really didn't want the Habs to face off against are the Winnipeg Jets, because they had a team game that was so strong. They have some decent forwards. They don't have much when it comes to defense, but they have one of the best goaltenders in the league. And the way that they were able to just shut down teams during most of the season was scary. It really was scary. But at the same time, for the last 3 weeks or so, they've been struggling quite a bit. So, I mean, it's like everything's open in the North Division.
Before hearing your analysis of the North, I felt pretty confident that Toronto had the wheels to get to the finals, because I felt that especially at the trade deadline, they get Nick Foligno, they get David Rittich to help out with goaltending. I felt that they made some moves that would maybe help get them over the hump a little bit. And I felt like that was the team to maybe watch in the North. However, as you just mentioned, if there's still some defensive issues, that changes my feeling a little bit, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto's going to get you if they're able to really get some offensive zone time. If you're able to shut them down in the neutral zone, you're going to have a better chance of beating them. But if they are able to set up for a long time in the offensive zone, I mean, that's where eventually they're going to get you with that cross-ice pass straight onto Matthews' stick or something like that. But the other thing, I mean, Nick Foligno, to me, it was kind of like when they went and got John Tavares, where you're looking at it and it's like, you don't need this player. I mean, he's a great player, but you go and get Foligno, it's like, well, okay, but you already have Joe Thornton, Jason Spezza kind of playing the same role. I mean, I get Foligno's is younger, but I mean, you already have those types of character players. Maybe it's time that you look at your defensive core and start adding some players there instead. So it's a lot of the same for Toronto. I mean, it wouldn't be impossible for them to come out on top, obviously. I mean, they had a strong year, but I mean, even after that, I mean, I have a hard time seeing them passing teams like the Vegas Knights or the Colorado Avalanche or Washington or, you know, even Tampa Bay. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they will. And oh yeah, I have to say, added pressure for Toronto. They just can't seem to get out of that first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, very true. What do you think your Montreal Canadiens have to do to get to the finals, to be the representative of the North? What do you think?
Well, they should start by playing 60 minutes. That should be good. It's just, I was talking to about it with a buddy of mine last week, where it's like you have two teams. You have that team that'll show up that was there for like the first 15 games or so of the year, where they were just tearing it up. They were the team that scored the most goals in the NHL, that had given the last goals in the NHL. Their power play was on fire. I mean, everything was clicking. I mean, offensively it was clicking. Their transition game was great. And then all of a sudden they had like a couple of days off, and that just like went screwy. And since that part of the season, I mean, it's been like either that great team that you'll see, or this other team that just can't seem to get anything going, can't seem to score. I mean, for the last, I'm going to say maybe 15 games or so, they probably scored more than 3 goals twice. So, I mean, we're hoping that we get the team that we saw at the beginning of the season, but like the last few weeks have not been that encouraging. On the plus side, though, they're getting like half their lineup back, which was injured. So that should help.
Okay. And you know, maybe they'll step up too because of the rivalry with Toronto. You know, that's one of those little intangibles that we forget about. You know, you got those rivalries in which you want to show up your opponent or your rival.
Yeah. And again, I mean, it's playoff hockey. There really seems to be this idea of having a clean slate when you come into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it should be interesting, and everything's going to go up a notch because, like I said at the beginning, I mean, the funny thing is about this year, even if you had like 3-4 games against the same team, it just didn't seem like playoff hockey that it was advertised it was going to be. I mean, it really seemed like teams had gotten sick of playing against each other at a certain point. So,
well, and then you have I don't know this for a fact, but you had a lot of people coming in and out of the lineups. You know, with injuries, with COVID protocol and that. So I think that also played a role in dulling, I'm going to use that term, dulling down the excitement of the regular season because, you know, when you have guys who are coming off the taxi squad, maybe they're not familiar with the rivalry. You know, they're trying to figure things out for themselves.
Actually, in Montreal, they got Corey Perry to be on the taxi squad. And I'm guessing close to 10 games into this season, they had to call him up because of injury, and he's been in the lineup since. So, I mean, the taxi squad, I like the concept, but I mean, at the same trying to have those guys get enough ice time to not get rusty, it's a complicated thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's move over to the East because you mentioned about the Canadians not playing 60 minutes. And, you know, that's what the Pittsburgh Penguins are notorious for. And I think that was evident in today's game in which they lost in OT to the Islanders in game one. It just always seems that the Pens, that they rely, that they play 40 great minutes of hockey. And then there's that 10 minutes or 15 minutes somewhere in the game where it's like, we don't have to try really hard. You know, I don't know if it's because, well, we have Crosby and, well, normally Malkin. He's not there. Obviously, he's still injured. But it just, and that always seems to bite them in the ass in the end. You know what I mean? You have somebody on the ropes, finish him off, man.
Yeah, that's sort of a funny thing for Pittsburgh. And I guess you could see, like, the transition happening in that team, where it used to be a team that was able to finish you off. As soon as they got ahead, I mean, usually they were able to keep it that way and bring it all the way to the end. Whereas something that that's something that I've seen with the Montreal Canadiens for years now, where confidence level just isn't there. So even if you do have a 2 or 3 goal lead, you always seem to see the guys kind of get a little antsy. That's an interesting thing. I mean, not having seen any Pittsburgh games this year, it's interesting to know that. I mean,
it just seems that way. It's been a problem of being a fan for almost my entire life. That it seems that they're always, especially in recent years, it seems that there's just that few minutes where they coast, and then that's when things go awry. I still feel confident that they probably are going to come out of the North. I think that they are going to be taking on, and this might be controversial, but I think the Boston Bruins is going to beat the Capitals.
I don't know. That's probably the best. I was looking at everything and all the matchups, and to me, that's probably the best matchup out there because both teams have some decent offense. Both teams can get really physical. So yeah, I mean, the advantage that either the Pens or the Isles have is that whoever comes out of the Caps and Boston series are going to be banged up. So
yeah,
that's a plus for you, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, I just feel the Capitals. I mean, obviously, you know, on Saturday night they had an injury to their goaltender Vanacek, and I think that puts a question mark because I don't see Craig Anderson at 40 years old leading them to the Stanley Cup Finals. Sorry, Craig, with all due respect, I don't think that's happening. You know, and I think Boston is starting to click now. They've started to click those last couple of weeks of the season. You know, they went out and got Taylor Hall from Buffalo, which, you know, Buffalo is such a dumpster fire of a franchise anyways. That wasn't too surprising. But I have this feeling that Boston's probably going to start piling it on. And I got this feeling that Ovechkin's maybe not quite the player he once was.
Yeah, well, he was injured over the last couple of weeks as well. Yeah,
right. And I'm wondering if he's not 100%. If he's maybe 85%, which is still I'm sure phenomenal on the ice. But I'm thinking the Boston, if they can take advantage of that, take advantage of the goaltending issues, they might be moving on.
Yeah. Well, and again, I mean, that goes for most teams as well this year. I mean,
sure.
There's so many injuries. The guys are just they're just spent. So I don't know. And the same thing with Boston. I mean, they have an okay team game, but sometimes, I mean, the goaltending can be a bit shoddy. So and even their back end, I mean, they have a decent back end, but it's nowhere near what it was a couple of years ago.
True on that. Well, let's move on to the Central, in which we have Carolina, Nashville, Florida, and Tampa Bay. And I know, Luke, you had said that you're curious to see how Tampa does since you didn't get to see too much of them. If I recall correctly, just before we started recording, I believe the news was that Stamkos and Kucherov are returning, if I remember correctly.
That's what I read.
So I think those two are going to be the difference makers for Tampa. I think Tampa is going to beat Florida. I don't think it's going to be a sweep, or I don't think it's going to be five games. I think it's going to go seven. I think it's going to be an exciting series. But I think now with Stamkos and Kucherov back in the fold, I think Tampa ends up winning actually the entire thing. I think that they're going to be the representative for the Central Division.
Yeah, and they went out and didn't they get Savard as well?
They got David Savard as well. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So that's the fun thing about Tampa is that most of their trade deadline moves I find are really intelligent. They got a pretty decent defenseman, but they usually are really good at zeroing in on what they need, and regardless of the price. I mean, this is what we need right now. We need a good and solid stay home defenseman. We're going to go get one. We need that. We don't need to worry about our offense right now. So, and it's not like they have too many of that type of player as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I mean, their management there, Julien Bigasbo, I mean, he's doing a great job. He's just, you know, following with what Yzerman had set up and everything. And they just seem to be the team that probably has one of the better plans. Everything seems to be clear. Everything seems to be pulling in the same direction. And that's just awesome to see.
If I'm not mistaken, Brisebois, that is the general manager in Tampa, correct? Julien Bigasbo?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought so, but I wasn't, you know, I was trying to think. Because, with Yzerman moving up to Detroit, which, you know, hopefully that he can right that ship. And I, you know, real quickly, side note, I think Detroit, I know I said originally that I thought that they were going to be better this year. That didn't happen. But I think that they made a very smart move in getting Jacob Vrana and Richard Panik in exchange for Anthony Mantha. I think that was a great, shrewd move by Steve Yzerman.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, that was a win-win trade where Detroit's getting something that they need and that they'll be able to use in the long term. And in Washington, I mean, Anthony Mantha is a solid hockey player. So they're going to be getting something for the now. So that works out as well.
Well, let's move on to the West, our final conference to talk about. We have Colorado and St. Louis facing off, Vegas and Minnesota facing off. Luke, who do you like in this division?
Well, my heart's been in Colorado pretty much all season long. I thought that they would have had an easier time this season. They struggle a bit from time to time. But I mean, I really like Colorado. I mean, I'm honestly, I'd love to see a Colorado-Tampa Cup final. I think that would be probably the best matchup that we could get.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I really like Vegas. I know that today they, you know, went to overtime. They lost to Minnesota. I still felt that Vegas had all the pieces of the puzzle, you know, with Shea Theodore. You got Pietrangelo back in, you know, on the backstop. Still got, I mean, Fleury came back this year and had a great season. You know, according to everything I read, this was somebody that, you know, a year ago we were questioning, is he going to stick around when Robert Leonard was holding things down in the goal? I think that as long as Vegas continues scoring, to me, I feel like that's my only question mark with them is they got to get scoring from all those lines. And I don't know if their bottom six are lighting it up like they could be or should be.
Yeah, and I mean, they got the worst matchup to start with. I mean, Minnesota. I mean, who saw Minnesota having the year that they had? Oh,
exactly.
So, I mean, they're there, no pressure. Like, we shouldn't even be here. There's really not – I mean, there aren't any big names, huge names on that team. They kind of remind me of Columbus, like, a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. where it's just like blue-collar guys. They're coming in. They're going to try to get the job done, and then that's it, which is – usually the hardest teams to play against.
Yeah, because they have nothing to lose. They have everything to gain because, as you said, they're not even supposed to be in. They're not even supposed to be at the dance, but they're there. And you know, from what little bit I watched of that game one between Vegas and Minnesota, they just Minnesota looks real strong. So I think it's going to be a test. But I'm sticking. I think the Vegas is going to turn things around. I think it'll be an entertaining series.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's surely going to be better than those god-awful helmets they have. Those golden helmets. Oh, my God. Seriously, who thought of that?
You know, I could go on a rant about I understand that the NHL wants to make revenue and let's go with third jerseys out the wazoo. But this year, that was my one complaint. I just stopped with all the jerseys. We don't need four jerseys in it just drove me bonkers, man.
And then you have the Dallas Stars that either have like that white sheet one, everything's just white, or the other one, you either have the white or the fluorescent green. I mean, it's your pick.
Yeah, it's, like when I saw those Stars jerseys, I'm like, are they going to a rave? What is this? Like, it looks ridiculous. But there's others. I mean, Columbus's red jerseys are horrible. I'm not a fan of the red Golden Knights jerseys. I'm not a fan of the Pittsburgh white jerseys circa 1997, where they just have Pittsburgh down the front. I'm like, this. I understand why they do it. I get it. But it's just like, you know, I will say this, though. I will give credit. You talked about helmets there and how awful they are for Vegas. I do appreciate that Colorado went to the powder blue gloves and the powder blue helmet to match the blue in their jerseys. I think that was a really snazzy look.
Yeah, I had to get used to it, but it didn't turn out as bad. Or maybe it's just because of the Golden Knights helmet that eventually I figured, you know what? Blue isn't all that bad. I mean, you could punish your kid with that. So he's not listening. I'm going to buy you that helmet. Okay, fine. I'm good, Dad. I'm good. We're okay.
I wonder how many hockey supply stores have just one of those on their shelf and they can't give it away.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's great if you want to, like, see what you look like with another helmet on because it's so shiny. But, I mean, otherwise, it's just like, or if you want to, you know, you could use it as a strategy where your first two games, first two periods, you come out with a black helmet and then the third period, just like, blow the whole place away with those helmets. And everybody's going to be going, like, what the hell are we going to do here?
It's like looking into the sun. Oh, yeah, my God, exactly. My eyes.
Those things are so ugly. Fine, there you go. You win by default.
Oh, man. Well, I was going to put you on the spot, but you already said you would love to see a Tampa-Colorado final. Are you sticking to that as a kind of a prediction?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the heart's always with the Habs, but I mean, as far as having a fun final, I'm guessing that one should, because there's teams that are almost built the same way. So, I mean, Tampa probably has a bit better goaltending. But they're two strong teams that, I mean, great forwards, solid defensive core. I think that would probably be the best matchup we could see there.
Well, I'm going to stick with Tampa as well. Again, heart's always with Pittsburgh. And I do think that they, if they just get their stuff together and play full games, I think they could have a shot at lifting Lord Stanley Cup. But you know, I'm going to give the nod to Tampa making it to the final, and I'm going to be bold, Luke. I'm going to say that Vegas and Tampa will be our final. I say I was going to be bold like their helmets, but then I left that joke alone. I just left it there. I wasn't going there. I think Vegas and Tampa. I just feel that Tampa has, as I said before, with getting Kucherov back, Stamkos, David Savard, they have great goaltending. I feel like they have something to prove. Can we repeat I'm thinking Tampa is, to me, a favorite to maybe win it all.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're obviously, as long as they get past Florida, if the Hurricanes get out of the first round, they're going to have a hard time with that team.
Yes.
Kind of the same way the Knights are probably going to struggle against the Wild. Because, again, I mean, it's not exactly typical big hockey team. They have a couple of good players on that team, but it's really like a team game. So, mm-hmm. I mean, every division has that interesting team. It's like, what are you doing there, right? I mean, the East has the Islanders, where you're like, well, you have, a couple of good young players, but – I mean, there's no big, huge superstar on that team. So, what's going to happen? So, it's going to be interesting this year.
Yeah, certainly will be. All right. Well, Luke, let's talk a little bit about where folks can listen to you, because you have a podcast that you started. You said what, a couple months ago? So, let's talk a little bit about that, shall we?
Yeah, sure. I mean, first off, warning: it's in French. So. So you're going to have to polish up your French, but it's, yeah, I mean, it's just, two guys talking about hockey, talking mostly about the Habs. We'll give you a rundown of the last week, where we think this team is going. I mean, we got to talk a lot about, probably future, maybe not all-star, but definitely future star in the NHL, eventually with Cole Caulfield. I'm going to go on a little rant right now, because they're putting him like on the fifth forward line right now in practice. So officially he's not in the lineup, but this guy just gave you like huge goals over the last 10 games, including two game winners. So I don't know why they're not putting him in the lineup. I guess that's a whole other story. But yeah, I mean, the podcast is just like a couple of guys talking. From time to time, we'll have a guest on there, and it's just relax. And it's been a lot of therapy as well when things don't go too well. So that's always, you get a nice place to just vent a bit. So yeah, it's fun.
So what's the name of the podcast, and where can folks find it?
Yeah, it's called La Troisième Paire, which is a reference to the third defensive pairing. And it's pretty much everywhere. You can find it on Spotify, Apple, Google. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Okay, cool. Anything else you want to plug real quick before we wrap things up?
No, man, that's pretty much it.
Cool. We'll definitely check it out. What? Say it one more time. What was the name of the podcast again?
La Troisième Paire. That's L-A-3-E and P-A-I-R-E.
Okay. Can I try it? You won't be offended if I get it wrong. Let me try it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Les étoiles? No, that wasn't it. That was terrible. That was awful. Don't. You know what? Next time we talk in the fall, I'm going to practice. I'm going to practice saying it. I'll be better.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And, okay. And we've been having the fun with the kids too on the podcast, where I have either one of my two oldest reading a warning card saying, you know, this podcast may contain some foul language. And then I just have like a tidbit of one of the other kids just like insulting us. Just like, you know, like, or really the third pair is long. It's like, it's more like the seventh defenseman, or, you know, these guys aren't even funny, or just a whole bunch of stuff. I had one of my kids just laughing, saying the title of the podcast. So it was just like, there you go. So, yeah, I mean, there's absolutely nothing serious about it. So,
hey, but you know what, if you're having fun and you enjoy doing it, that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. And we've had some good responses as well. So for a podcast, that's, I mean, it's really, really, I mean, I hate to use the word niche, but it really is. I mean, you're just talking about hockey. It's in French. And so, I mean, you narrow it down so much that, it, you know, you don't get the chance to have all that many listeners. But I mean, we're getting a fair share, surprisingly, considering that, like I said, I mean, Sunday evening, we're recording our 10th episode. So
yeah,
it's cool.
Cool, man. All right. With that, then, ladies and gentlemen, Luke, thanks for coming on again and sharing your insights on the NHL and the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, man. Anytime.
You got it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll throw it to a break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Luke Landry talking about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And I appreciate Luke taking some time out of his schedule to sit down and chat with me. And definitely check out his podcast, which I am not going to try to say the name again. I promise, though, honest to goodness, it's public record. By the next time I talk to Luke, I'm going to be able to say it correctly. That's my goal that I'm setting for myself. But Luke's a great dude. Thanks again so much for coming on, man. I really do appreciate it. And maybe you want to let me know whether you agree or disagree with some of the opinions and insights that Luke and I shared on this episode. Well, you can get in touch with me a couple different ways. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for at PVDcast. Or you can shoot me an email if you want, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And speaking of pvdcast.com, that's the online home of yours truly, and it's one great avenue for getting every single episode of the PVDcast. But it's also available through all those major podcasting platforms as well. So just go to your favorite podcasting platform, in the search engine, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, John Orlando, and you should find it. And as always, rate, review, and subscribe, please. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. Subscribing means you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. And I know maybe you're like, I don't know, John, that seems like an awful lot of work. Well, let me tell you a simpler way you can catch every single weekly episode of the PVDcast. Simply go to at PVDcast on Facebook, which is the official Facebook page of this podcast. And every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I play a Facebook broadcast of the week's episode. And it's simulcast through the Three Geeks podcast and also the Scene Snobs network. So definitely go on over to at PVDcast on Facebook. Check it out. And you know what? I'm going to give a plug too. Check out Three Geeks podcast. It's available over at threegeeks.ninja. And check out all of the great podcasts on the network for the Scene Snobs. And that is www.thescenesnobs.com. All right, all the plugs, all the thank yous, everything's out of the way, so I'm going to wrap things up. So I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.